All of us struggle with the powers of this world. All of us know, as Jesus knows, that it is often easier to choose power, violence, and domination instead of the reconciling ways of the reign of God.
That's Bishop Neil Alexander, and today he brings you a challenging message of faith and hope. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thanks, Sherry. Today we're honored to have with us the Right Reverend J. Neil Alexander, Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta, Georgia. Before coming to Atlanta in 2001, he was Professor of Divinity, Liturgics, and Homiletics at the University of the South in Suwanee, Tennessee. In 2009, he was elected the 23rd Chancellor at Suwanee. Neil is a graduate of Moravian College in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and earned a Master of Music degree from the University of South Carolina, a Master of Divinity from Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina, and a Doctor of Theology from the General Theological Seminary in New York. Bishop, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Peter. It's wonderful to be back with you.
You preached on our program 9 years ago, which is hard to believe. It's not long after you had become Bishop of Atlanta. I'm sure these past 10 years have been interesting. What are some of the high points for you in the diocese?
Well, it's actually been a wonderful gift to me to be privileged to serve as the Bishop of the Diocese of Atlanta. It is a large and strong diocese with lots of mission and ministry happening both in our parishes and in ministries that we share diocesan-wide, our camp and conference centers, a variety of inner-city ministries that serve not only the city of Atlanta, but in the city of Columbus, the city of Macon, and other communities around the territory of the Diocese of Atlanta. And so it's been a wonderful time to walk with the clergy and people of the Diocese of Atlanta as we seek together to serve Christ. I think one of the things that must be said is, as everyone knows, it has been an interesting journey in the last 7 or 8 years in the life of the Episcopal Church. And I'm pleased to say that in the Diocese of Atlanta, we have stayed together and worked together and walked together and prayed together and studied together the significant issues before our church. And we, I think for the vast majority of us, have decided that being together in the service of the church's mission, being together to engage God's mission among us, is really the first priority. And so it's been not always an easy time, but I think at the end of the day, a really quite a joyful and mission-oriented time in our life together in the Diocese of Atlanta.
Today, the church observes the first Sunday in Lent. Ash Wednesday was this past week. How would you describe the purpose of this season of church life?
Well, Lent is one of the ancient seasons of the church's year of grace. And I think you discover in the church, when you look at these matters, that we designate certain principal feasts. Obviously, the great feast of the church is Easter, and then we also have Christmas and other times that reflect particular times in the life of Jesus. And of course, whenever the church has a feast, it is generally preceded by a season of preparation. And that's principally, I think, the way we understand Lent. In the long history of the church, of course, the principal day of baptism, the principal day of becoming a Christian, is Easter Day. And so a lot of the Lenten traditions and a lot of how we think about Lent is the church walking together toward Easter with those new converts to the faith who are going to be baptized at Easter, or perhaps if they've already been baptized, received into the faith, or asked to recommit their lives to the risen Lord at Easter. And so the church walking together with those who are becoming a more intimate part of its fellowship as we move toward Easter is really the principal theme. Of course, as I mentioned in the sermon for today, there's another tradition in the church that must also be honored, and that is after the baptism of Jesus. Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days, and there is tempted by the devil, and that is the story that is beginning this season of Lent in this particular year. And of course, in the church's piety and the church's discipline and practice, that theme of dealing with the temptations of Jesus, how do they apply to our own lives? How do we walk through a bit of a desert experience with Jesus has also been a very important sub-theme in our journey toward Easter.
And in your sermon today, you will take us back to the wilderness with Jesus and his tempter. Would you read the text for us?
I'd be happy to, Peter. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left Jesus, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
So Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of this fast, the tempter, the devil, apparently comes to seduce and sidetrack Jesus, it seems. How should we understand who this tempter is and what's going on here?
Some, of course, would take those images quite literally and imagine, a long tail and horns and that sort of thing. I think others would look at those references as we clearly have the presence of evil in the world. There is clearly a struggle with good and evil in the world. As Matthew tells the story, for example, in this case, he uses the figure of the devil as a way to make this contrast so that we can see not only Jesus's conflict and Jesus's struggle with the powers and principalities of this world, but that we can see in that our own struggle with the powers and principalities of this world. So I think people will understand this figure of the devil in a variety of ways, but I think the principal way that Matthew is using it here is so that we can see the powerful contrast that Jesus is experiencing, that Jesus is enduring on our behalf, and then how we, as faithful followers of Jesus, enter into that conflict and make those decisions for ourselves about how we want to live in the world.
Bishop, your sermon is entitled Choose Life. Thank you for being with us.
It's been wonderful to be with you, Peter.
And if you'd like to listen to today's program with Bishop Alexander again, read his sermon transcript, or watch our video conversation, please visit our website at dayone.org.
Today is the first Sunday in Lent, and in many of our churches, we will read and reflect upon St. Matthew's telling of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. The church has recalled this story on this day since ancient times. The story is pivotal to the claim of Jesus upon our lives. It is easy to associate the story of Jesus' temptations with the struggles and temptations we encounter in our own journey to Easter. The 40 days of our Lenten observance are often spoken of as an imitation of sorts of the 40-day wilderness experience that Jesus endured after his baptism. In the isolating terror of the Palestinian desert, Jesus prepares himself spiritually for what he must endure when he arrives in Jerusalem. These temptations of Jesus invite us to move more deeply into the isolation and solitude of our own experience. They are invitations not to avoid, but to wrestle with our own demons and confront the relentless temptations that are unique to each of us. In the gospel story of the temptations, Jesus is engaging the powers of this world, the underbelly of human existence that is embodied for the purpose of telling the story in the figure of the devil. The powers of this world are the great resistant forces, largely uncontrollable, that hold people hostage, captive to the institutions and systems that carry us along. The forces that drive the spirit of the age, promising life, but leading to death. The powers of this world seek to render us powerless before the immensity of the world's problems. These are the powers that say, no one really wants war, but the bodies keep piling up. That say, no one really wants homelessness, but we can't seem to do anything about it. That say, no child needs to die of hunger anywhere, but especially in the wealthiest nation on earth, and yet they do. These are the powers that say, I am not really living, but simply being driven along by forces beyond my control. The powers of this world are characterized by domination and violence, relentlessly seeking to have their own way, regardless of the costs, even to the point of death. These are the powers that Jesus resists in the wilderness temptations, and they are the powers that will eventually crucify him. In the first temptation, Jesus says no to the use of power for his own survival. Jesus is famished, hungry, and the devil invites Jesus to use his power to turn stone into bread. At what must have been a time of great physical and emotional weakness, Jesus is tempted to use his power to meet his own needs, to secure his own survival. And Jesus turns to the Scriptures and speaks a word in the face of the powers. Jesus reminds the devil that one cannot live by bread alone. The ancient people of the Hebrews cried out in desperation for God to provide manna in their wilderness. But Jesus declares in his wilderness that faith and obedience to God will be his security. Jesus does not yield his body and soul to the false security of the powers of this world. Jesus knows that people can suffer death by bread alone. This we can clearly see in our own self-indulgent, consumer-driven, environmentally reckless society. If Jesus yields to this temptation, he secures his own survival, but there would be no need for the cross. In the second temptation, the devil invites Jesus to tempt God. Throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple so that God's angels can save you before the eyes of all who are watching, and then they will know for sure that you are who you say you are. Then all will know that you are the Son of God. This is the powers of this world at their best. claiming God to be on their side, making their own power, their own political ends, their own way of seeing the world into God's way of seeing the world, with no regard whatsoever whether it is God's way or not. The devil tries to outsmart Jesus by turning, as Jesus does, to the great tradition. Jesus quoted Scripture to the devil. Now the devil is going to quote Scripture to Jesus. This turn in the story is a poignant reminder that in the wrong hands, even the Bible can be a weapon to be used in opposition to the will of God. Once again, Jesus says no. Once again, had Jesus said yes, there would have been no need for the cross. In the next temptation, the devil invites Jesus to use his power to establish a political regime based upon the ways of the world. Jesus can have it all the worldly power and domination there is, if he will just yield to the devil. Take charge of it all, the devil says to Jesus. All the power in the world can belong to you. All you have to do is to claim it by worshiping me, by yielding to domination and violence. Again, Jesus says no. To follow the devil's lead will make Jesus the emperor, the king of kings of the kingdoms of this world. But Jesus refuses to take the world by domination and violence. The only weapon Jesus uses against the powers of this world is the Word. The only sword Jesus ever draws is the sword of the Spirit. It is exactly what Martin Luther was describing in his great Reformation hymn, "The Prince of Darkness Grim, we tremble not for him, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure, one little word shall fell him." Jesus says no to the temptation of violence and domination. Had Jesus not said no, had Jesus assumed the powers of this world, there would have been no need for the cross. Today's gospel is important to us because in it we see the resistance of Jesus to the powers of this world. The resistance that begins right after his baptism and leads eventually to his crucifixion. The powers must crucify Jesus because of the no he speaks to their ways, to their ideologies, to the false securities they promise. The powers can only deliver death and destruction. Only Jesus can deliver life. Intent on their survival at all costs, the powers of this world must crucify the one who threatens their authority. Committed to domination by the sword, the powers must put to death the one who threatens their values. The gospel story of the temptations of Jesus is foundational for all that lies ahead. In it we see the conflict between the ways of this world and the ways of God, between the way of death and the way of life, between the way of darkness and the way of light. And at the center of this conflict stands the cross of Jesus. In these days of Lent, we live between temptation and crucifixion. Jesus resists every temptation that the devil throws at him. And Jesus resists because he sees what is coming. Jesus can see that these temptations are stumbling blocks on the path to Jerusalem. Jesus knows that with the resistance of each temptation, he is taking a step toward the cross. All of us struggle with the powers of this world. All of us know, as Jesus knows, that it is often easier to choose power, violence, and domination instead of the reconciling ways of the reign of God. All of us know, as Jesus knows, that it is easier to pick up lifeless stones and hurl them toward one another instead of passing the bread that sustains life. Holy friends, as we walk these great 40 days from temptation to crucifixion, I bid you to walk gently and with your heart wide open. Listen for Jesus. Jesus will call out to you as he makes his way from temptation to crucifixion. Jesus will call out to you from the cross. And in the midst of death, domination, and violence, you will hear his voice. Choose life, he will say. Choose life. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weakness of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Now, Neil Alexander offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Bishop, you said that it is easy to associate the story of Jesus' temptations with the temptations we face in our own keeping of Lent. Would you say more about how Jesus' experience in the wilderness invites us to move more deeply into the solitude of this season? How can we be more intentional about that?
I think I would suggest that people who are interested in moving more deeply into this try to find the place between the story of the temptations and Jesus' experience in the wilderness and where that story is taking us. That in the journey toward Easter that we are beginning on this particular day, it is a journey between temptation toward crucifixion and ultimately to resurrection. And I'm not sure it would be spiritually helpful to move into the temptation of Jesus and his wilderness experience and stay there. Because Jesus didn't stay there. Jesus moved beyond the wilderness. He moved through the towns and villages. He continued his journey to Jerusalem. And I think that in a similar way, we need to look at the isolation, the temptations. Are we able to set aside power and violence and domination as the way we function in the world and actually begin to claim for ourselves and emulate more powerfully the reconciling love of God in Jesus Christ? If we can do that as we begin to walk toward Easter, then the acts of Holy Week and the servant ministry of the Last Supper, the new commandment that we love one another as Christ has loved us, there's so much about the rest of the story that pulls us along so that when we experience on Good Friday the proclamation of the cross, and then ultimately when we awaken on Easter Day to the power of the proclamation of the resurrection, it's a journey. The temptations of Jesus in the wilderness is part of his journey, and it must be a part but not the whole of our journey because we're on the way here ultimately to resurrection.
Bishop, what's the one thing you hope our listeners will keep in mind as they continue their Lenten journey this week?
Well, I guess I would hope that people will hear the movement that I've tried to build into the sermon to remind us that we're on a journey here. One of the things that most troubles me about how Christianity is often presented is it's presented as a destination, and we want to get to that destination as soon as possible. I don't really see that very clearly on the pages of Scripture. What I see is the journey of the people of Israel, walking with God through all kinds of interesting times, and a story of God's faithfulness through that. And then we see the journey of Jesus from his birth, through the temptations, through lots of other experiences with his disciples, on to crucifixion, ultimately to resurrection. And then the church in the book of Acts picks up the story of its own journey of trying to live as disciples, as faithful followers of Jesus, as people who embody the resurrection. And then that story continues in our own lives. And this is all about this extraordinary journey in God, the destination of which we know only by promise.
Bishop Neil Alexander, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter. It's always good to see you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever. Now, here's the president of Day One, the Reverend Canon Louis Schuettig, with an important message.
Our Day One program is reaching more and more people every week. As the only national weekly ecumenical program of the mainline churches, we are proud that we can carry out this ministry, which we do as an independent organization, sustained by your financial contributions. Each program costs $5,000 to produce and distribute. So we want to ask you once again to consider giving to Day One as a portion of your tithe. We love being able to bring you these outstanding preachers each week. So make an offering today to ensure our continued service to you and to the proclamation of the gospel. Send your gift to Day One, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. That's 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308, or by giving online at dayone.org. Thank you for being part of our Day One family.